This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Hubble turns 25, astronomers detect lunchtime, and dark matter is mapped. The Hubble Space Telescope celebrated 25 years since its launch this month, drawing tributes and plaudits from across the astronomical community. The famous space telescope lifted off from the Kennedy Space Centre on the 25th of April 1990, and has since taken hundreds of thousands of beautiful and useful astronomical images which have revolutionized our picture of the universe. It didn't always look good for Hubble, however. From its origins in the late 1970s, the telescope's launch was beset by delays, most notably due to the moratorium on space shuttle launches caused by the 1986 Challenger disaster. Even when it had made it into orbit, a notorious flaw in the construction of the primary mirror had it initially labeled a failure. Due to an incorrectly assembled piece of testing equipment, the mirror had been ground incredibly precisely, but to the wrong shape. This caused a spherical aberration in images sent back by Hubble, and whilst the images were still superior to those of a typical ground-based telescope, they were nowhere near the sharpness designed for and expected. Fortunately, a series of maintenance missions had always been planned for Hubble, and the first of these was able to install corrective spectacles in 1993 with spectacular results. Since then, the telescope has operated nearly continuously, with four further service missions refreshing its camera, spectrographs, and computers. The images produced have been spectacular, as summarized by the many anniversary lists available online. But Hubble also released a special image of the Westerland 2 star cluster in the Carinae constellation, showcasing the high-resolution, wide-field images which would simply not be possible to achieve when looking through the Earth's unstable atmosphere from the ground. Hubble has done excellent science both inside and outside of our galaxy, including on projects viewing the impact of the Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet on Jupiter, views of the birthplaces of stars and planets within our galaxy, precision determinations of the rate of expansion of the universe, and the deep field studies, staring at an apparently empty patch of the sky for a long period in order to gather the faint light from some of the earliest galaxies in the universe. These deep fields are particularly humbling, revealing the tiny patches of sky to contain thousands of galaxies billions of light-years away, each hosting innumerable stars and planets. Even after 25 years, Hubble is still capable of groundbreaking science, but is nearing the end of its time in space. The cost of its replacement, the James Webb Space Telescope, or JWST, which will have over five times the collecting area, is such that it has become difficult to justify service missions to Hubble, meaning a hard limit on its lifetime is set by either equipment failure or its gradual orbital decay, with best estimates on the end of the mission being between 2020 and 2030. For now, though, Hubble observing time remains one of the most prized goals of many astronomers. Also in the news this month, astronomers showed that a mysterious signal detected by radio telescopes actually has a banal origin, as emission from a local microwave oven. The signals, known as peritons, had been detected at telescopes including the Parkes radio dish in New South Wales, Australia, and were previously of unknown origin. However, work from Emily Petrov and collaborators was made available on the archive service this month, and has shown that they actually originate from impatient astronomers in the Parkes staff room, opening the door of a microwave oven before the timer had expired, releasing the burst of radio waves. Since their description in 2011, peritons have been detected in archival data and been an annoying foreground in the search for another mysterious radio signal, fast radio bursts, FRBs or FRBs. Peritons are regarded as less interesting by astronomers, as they were known to have some kind of terrestrial origin, unlike the FRBs, which are expected to originate outside of our galaxy. However, the two types of signal have a similar frequency signature, leaving lingering doubts in the minds of some that they could both be man-made. Peritons had still had a number of potentially exotic explanations, including as artifacts from ball lightning, meteor trails, and large magnetic fields. In the end, the crucial clue about their true nature came from their distribution in time. That is, their appearance in the Parkes data was clustered strongly around lunchtime at the telescope. Following a hunch, Petrov and the paper's other authors were able to reproduce periton signals at will using two microwave ovens installed in staff kitchens at the observatory. Their paper contains surely some of the most incongruous discussions in an astronomical publication on the particulars of components and operations of two 27-year-old microwave ovens, the use of a ceramic mug of water as a test load, and the detection in data from 1998 of a cluster of peritons inferred to be from a hungry astronomer defrosting a meal with a small amount of foil caught in the oven door. The paper has generated much amusement, but is invaluable in showing a definite and distinct origin for the peritons, removing any lingering doubts that they were related to the more interesting, due to their extragalactic origin, Furbies. The microwave ovens are still in working order and have not been retired, but new guidelines for their use have been strictly implemented. And finally, the Dark Energy Survey, or DES, collaboration released their first map of the dark matter within our universe this month. The team used data from their dark energy camera at the Victor M. Blanco telescope in Chile to measure the shapes of thousands of distant galaxies. They then used the fact that the gravity of objects between us observers and those galaxies distorts by a tiny amount their apparent shape in an effect known as weak gravitational lensing. By looking at the shapes of thousands of galaxies in a 139 square degree patch of the sky, the international team were able to see where distortions were greatest, showing them where the mass was. This total mass is expected to be dominated by dark matter, which cannot be directly seen by other means. The resulting map is one of the largest so far made of dark matter, and proves that the DES team are capable of this very difficult science. In the coming years, they hope to expand their region to a full 5,000 square degrees of sky, enabling them to measure the growth of the structures in the dark matter over the history of the universe and inferring the effect which the even more mysterious dark energy has had on that growth.